On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports, a very special Tall Can Sports. It's Matt Robinson, Nate Sager across the table as we are celebrating the Toronto Blue Jays advancing to the next round. Here, here, my friend.
Here, yeah. Thanks to the sound effects department.
Right on. Yeah. And now
manager.
A horse is walking through. Click, 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 click. No. We have the Toronto Blue Jays have just polished off the Texas Rangers in Game 5. One of the strangest games you'll probably ever see. Kansas City Royals have also eliminated the Houston Astros, meaning it'll be the Jays and the Astros. Nope, it'll be the Jays and the Royals in the ALCS, which will start on Friday night. Kind of a matchup that I think a lot of people were A, expecting and B, hoping for, certainly. But I think we're going to spend most of the time on this one talking about the series that is just wrapped up, because it was kind of a tale of two series, right? the way it started out at home. What were your thoughts? Let's start maybe after game two, down 0-2, headed to Texas.
I don't know if I can share. Oh, I was so far down that I could not get back up after that game last Friday.
Man. I don't think you were the only one.
As I used to say when I was number 10 in hockey, I have my IQ on my jersey and my heart on my sleeve. But I was pretty far down because, the Blue Jays, personally to me, the Jays are the team that I feel the deepest emotional attachment to them, because I've never followed the sport without being a fan of them.
Right.
Like, okay, Toronto Raptors in basketball. Okay, I was an NBA fan as a kid for years and years before the Raptors came into being. And the NFL, my team's the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, I know. There was a period where I've liked the NFL before I really settled on the Vikings, who are, of course, God's chosen team, because their fan base knows nothing but suffering and true belief. And so, it was pretty hard, but it was kind of funny. The day after that game, on the off day, I went into a Winners, and I see a hat there, because sometimes you can get a steal on hats at Winners.
Yeah.
Your Winners fab, fine. I see this one hat that someone had picked up and put down. I bought it, and they've won three games since, and I've worn the hat every day. Right. So, it's just quite something. Not to make this all about me. Can we get a shot of me? Oh, wait, it's a podcast. But a lot of people really do have emotional attachments to the Blue Jays. It's just kind of been latent because they haven't made a serious playoff push from 1993 till this fall, and now it's all sort of you know, come bubbling to the surface in just this sort of wondrous way. And
yeah,
I mean, and to come back, I mean, only two teams had ever lost the first two games of a division series at home.
Yep.
And come back to win and run off three straight. I think only six teams have done it overall.
Right.
And I mean, the last team, the most recent team to win, lose the first two at home and go on was the 2012 Giants, who won the World Series. So. Yeah. Some ways it feels like, oh man, maybe this will be a harder series than the ALCS might be. No slight intended to the Kansas City Royals and their genius manager Ned Yost.
Yeah, we'll get into that because I can't.
But yeah, just the way it all came together. I mean, in the top of the seventh inning, it looked like there was going to be like a riot inside Rogers Center
yeah.
after the
you know
that
what,
weird third Rangers run, and then yeah. you know Jose Bautista. I mean, that's up there with anything you're going to see in a to cap yeah. off a. A playoff series. I mean, you think of like, you know, things you've read about, and like, you know, George Brett taking Goose Gossage out to win the pennant for the Royals way back in yep. 1980. I'm not old enough to remember, but it's like something you would go on YouTube and find the clip of. And it's like Bautista, granted, it's Sam Dyson, who's a nobody.
He's had a runoff, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, he had a 1.15 ERA in 30 innings. He was the right guy to bring in that situation. But
even though
he
turned out to be a bitch in the post game. But
yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, when they headed down, when they headed down to Texas, saying all these things, like the Jays had won three in a row, like 12 times this year, and these sorts of things, even though it's different to have to do it against the same team over and over again, right? But they had also, the Texas pitching staff, obviously beyond Gallardo and Hamels, was not particularly daunting, right? Like, so that was the one thing that I kept trying to, you know, hold my head above water, right? And, in terms of staying positive, was they were going to go down there and, you know, a guy like Holland, a guy like, it wasn't overly intimidating. So
yeah, that's what it usually catches up to.
Now, I was nervous about, right, and I was nervous about our guys, not so much Estrada as Dickey, right? Like, that's the knuckleball, as great as he's been the second half, is just so unpredictable, and you just never know. So that was kind of my, I had a hunch, I would say, that they would win the two in Texas. I was not nearly as confident coming back up here with Hamels and, you know, the guys putting on those big home run swings right in front of the home crowd and these sorts of things. I was very nervous today, far more than I was in the two games in Texas. So, but I thought for sure in those first two games, that's what, you know, getting out of the dome helped them, right? To stop trying to put on the show.
I will cop to having a lot of paranoia about the whole, you know, Blue Jays being a sub-500 team in games yeah. where the Rogers Center roof is closed and yeah. wondering about the conspiracy theories. And there was a dubious called third strike on Troy Tulowitzki.
Yeah.
Early in the game, you're like, oh, here we freaking go. So, yeah, I will admit that I didn't have any nerves all day. I mean, I think I was able to, like, push them away, but then once the game started, it was like, oof, here we go.
Yeah, I kind of cruised for the most part early on, but later on, when Osuna came in with two men on, and I think only one out at the time, I sat back and said, I can't do this. Like, I'm used to watching the Leafs, and they've been blown out long ago. Like, we don't get to these points, right? Like, and every pitch you're living and dying with. So you know, it was just an interesting, you had a different take than me, on the Texas manager. I kind of grew to respect it. And like, I didn't know anything about, Bannister before.
Yeah, he's like one of those ultimate baseball lifers. Like, yeah. A guy who spent 29 years in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization as a, like, you know,
everything.
Career minor league player. Yeah. And then he was a coach and then sort of got the manager. I thought they were, all the replay challenges, yeah. which are to me and turning Deadspin had a post. It's turning baseball into football. Like these things yeah. were, and yes, we were just as guilty as anyone when we thought the Jays got yeah. hosed on a call.
Absolutely,
guy slides into a bag and his foot pops up off of it. Oh, his foot was off the base for yeah. you know 2 inches off the base when he was tagged.
Yeah, like,
that's not really the intent of the rule,
right? But it is the letter of the law.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't want to get into that.
Yeah,
everyone will get it
because it's behind us. But yeah,
But replay was brought in to overturn egregious missed calls, not a gotcha, right?
Yeah, like, it's an ambush, right?
Right.
I mean, especially when those bags are, you know, made of hard plastic. They're not like the old pillowy type bases
yes.
that were in use up until, I think, the mid-late 80s.
No, exactly.
Then now they got the ones that are, like, plastic, and they got a thing to just sort of dowel to put them into the ground.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I got to kind of like and respect him. I didn't see his post-game remarks. I saw some of the Texas players' post-game remarks today, but I liked him, right? I thought he did a good job. The other guy that if you're someone who really likes your baseball from all perspectives, whatever, before a team that I follow heads into a series in any sport, I like to try and find somebody from the other side. And it was Jeff Wilson from the Texas, or the Fort Worth Star Tribune. A couple people recommended. I heard him on the radio here. Super even keeled, right? In terms of not a real homer. He kind of covered both sides of it really evenly. So anyway, it's, Wilson, FWST on Twitter. Anyway, if you're interested in somebody covering that side of it, it won't matter now till spring training. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, if you're a Rangers fan, it's worth a follow. Let's get into game five specifically. We've kind of touched on it a little bit, but, you know, Texas won 2 in Toronto. Toronto went down to Texas and won there 2. And it set all this up. Marcus Stroman versus Cole Hamels, certainly. In terms of experience, you would give the edge to Cole Hamels, who'd been in a must-win or a
like 15 postseason games. That's right. more games than Stroman pitched all season.
Right. An NLCS MVP, a World Series MVP. So what were your thoughts going in knowing Stroman was starting for us as opposed to maybe a Price?
I was fairly confident in Stroman just because, I mean, he'd been good for keeping teams to about 2 earned runs in each of his starts since he came back from the knee injury. Everyone knows he's got, you know, really live stuff. And, you know, I honestly, obviously, with the Blue Jays set it up, they felt more confident with Stroman going in game 5. And, I mean, Cole Hamels, I mean, his reputation speaks for itself. But at the same time, the Jays are a righty-dominant lineup.
Were you surprised they started him over Gallardo?
Not really, because that's, I mean, you make that trade in July to bring in Cole Hamels, you're going to throw him in an all-or-nothing game 5. I mean, Houston basically did the same thing, or pardon me, Kansas City did the same thing. I mean, Johnny Cueto hasn't been their best starter, but they bypassed someone who's been more effective to put him in for the game.
Against
the Houston.
Price, for us, was your big, you traded the future for and was great down the stretch.
Yeah, the Blue Jays did the counterintuitive thing. I'm just saying the other teams did the conventional wisdom type deal, and we see how it worked out for Texas, but I wasn't surprised. I mean Hamels is the guy who's got the big game experience. Gallardo was more,
but
I mean, the Jays had seen him, like, so I mean, the second time around, maybe they're more likely to hit him,
maybe, because you know what, it was,
I mean, they were starting to figure him out.
We were
the first game against
him. But at the same time, I thought, despite the result, the Jays were hitting Hamels pretty well in game 2. It's not like they weren't, you know, anywhere near him. I thought they kind of went stride for stride, him and Stroman. And for a long time, that kind of seemed like the case again. I mean, Stroman gave up the 2 runs, but never did it seem like the Jays were in any danger of getting blown away, right? There was a couple of touch-and-go moments where you were a little nervous, or at least I was. But I was a little surprised. I think I agree that when it comes down to it, you go with the big game experience and your ace. But, Gallardo having owned the Jays the way he did, I was a little surprised that, you know, I'm sure had it not gone well for Hamels, he was the next guy coming. But, you know, I just wondered if it, you know, to you seemed like maybe. So the pitching matchup anyway, was Stroman versus Hamels. We got the Rangers scored right in the top of the first. You could tell it made the Dome a little nervous, quieted down a little bit already.
Oh, I mean, the defense. I had like all the defense mechanisms activated. And sitting there like, oh, yeah, the playoff format's kind of stupid anyway, as we've talked about in previous podcasts. So what if we win, we won't have proved we're the best team. Might have been the Cardinals. Oh, wait, it wouldn't be the Cardinals because they lost. Fuckers. Whoops. Stupid fuckers.
Yeah. So it was, right off the bat, and then I think it was the third where Chu hit the solo home run off Stroman. Beyond that, like, so he gave up some hits,
pitched well enough.
I personally, I didn't think he was at his best, but if you'd have told me going into a game five, I don't even care who the pitcher was, we were only giving up two runs. I'd like to believe our offense is going to get that. Now, you end up giving up three, but your starter gave up two, right? So I'm going to take that all day long, right, without even knowing who's going to who it's going to be on the mound.
Oh, sure. I mean, because when the Jays score five runs, they usually win.
Right. And at the time, you really only needed them to get four. So
now I'm reading some of the commentary. You know, they're calling this like the most chaotic postseason inning ever. That seventh inning that took,
I don't know what,
53 minutes to play. Yeah.
So,
I mean, put that in comparison. I once ran a 10K in 53 minutes, and I'm not that fast.
Yeah, the Jays would come back to tie it up and take a 3-2 lead. And in the top of the seventh inning, there was some shenanigans. As I think it was, again, was it not Chu on
third? Yeah, it was Chu, yeah.
Of course it was.
Up to bat. Guy.
Yeah, standing. And who was at third? DeShields.
Runeid Odair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Odour.
Odour.
He stinks. I guess his teammates all call him Stinky.
They probably do.
His name's Odour. No, they do. How could they not? That's what I read, yeah. So Sanchez throws a pitch into Martin. Martin stands, or doesn't really stand. He kind of half-asses to throw it back. Hits Chu's bat. The umpire calls it dead, which is wrong, we would later find out. But Odour comes, as he should have, firing down the third baseline, touches home plate, and seemingly has tied the game. Now,
or put them ahead, actually. It was 2-2 at the time.
Yeah, that's right. 3-3?
Yeah, the Jays scored four and would go on to score four. Right. Way to spoil the ending.
I do that sometimes.
For that one guy who's like, you know, listening
what
to
happened?
Us.
What happened?
Somehow has no other access to find out what happened. They, thanks, Mr. Spoil Game 5 of the ALDS for me.
We
whoa,
love you, guy who only listens to All Can Sports.
Yeah.
So there's a huge melee in terms of the umpires talking and they're calling New York and what's the. And it turns out that the rule is, because it's Martin's fault, he threw it into the guy's bat. Chu made no attempt. He wasn't interfering. He was just standing there in the batter's box. The ball should have been live, and the run should have been allowed to score. And so it was. But now the Jays have a contention that you called it dead. And so everybody's arguing, and it's getting pretty heat. And the fans are losing their minds. It is raining down beer cans and nachos and shit from the stands, right? And
half it's not making it to
the field. Yeah.
Down on the first row. That always happens. A kid will always get hit.
Of course. And I saw someone tweeting that a baby had gotten hit. And my first reaction is, God, man, that's bullshit. And the second reaction is, why are you bringing your baby to the game? Like, you should be safe to do it, but what is a kid possibly getting out of this? Anyway, it all rings out. The call gets upheld. The Rangers take the lead, and for some reason, I was worried. I don't know where you were at this point, but going into the bottom of the seventh inning, I was sure there was no chance the Jays' bats were going to be back focused, right, and able to do what they're supposed to do, mm-hmm. right? It turns out it's the Rangers who commit three straight defensive errors.
Yeah, you had an 18-minute delay while they were sorting out what happened That weird throwback. I didn't really lose my mind about that because I knew no. Because you've seen situations where, you know, the pitchers drop the throwback from the catcher and someone has scrambled in from third base to score. And it was like, I kind of just like common sense, well, that's the same thing. The catch, I don't know why the umpire, Dale Scott, home plate umpire Dale Scott screwed up.
Yep.
But then yeah, Texas, three straight errors. I mean, you can almost say that Texas lost this game.
They did. They absolutely set the table for what would come.
Right? They were among the more error-prone teams all season, and it finally just sort of came home to roost.
Not all of them. They hadn't been this season, or this series, excuse me.
And Adrian Beltre, who's like being held together with like chewing honest gum and bailing wire, was the only infielder who didn't make a mistake during that inning, believe it or not. As Elvis Andrus, you know, starts with the error, then they get a, you know, chance for a force on a second, and Mitch Moreland throws the ball away. He had a terrible series.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he hit safely.
Well, and it was Prince Fielder who said, we're a better team with you in the lineup. I'll move to DH so you can play first base. What the fuck was that about?
And Odair also, I mean, really should have had the one flare that went dropped it over his head and brought in the tying run.
And they end up getting Revere at second there because you can see he's stuck between first and second. He's going to catch it. I got to get back to first. What am I going to do? So that leaves runners at the corners for Bautista, who smashes a home run that, you know, as loud as any sustained reaction you're going to hear out of a sporting facility, as the Dome just lost their minds after everything that had just happened. And it puts the Jays up 6-3. At that point, things get a little tense again because Bautista just stands and watches it go, gives a bat flip of all time, right? Just epic.
Yeah, I'm watching a GIF of it right now, actually. It's like on FanGraphs, never-ending footage of Jose Bautista's bat flip. But, I mean, he was showing he enjoyed the game, and that is just reprehensible.
Not supposed to have it.
Now, first off, they're calling this the second biggest home run in Blue Jays history. Yeah, I guess I'd say so. What a postseason series.
You know what?
You got
the only one, Alomar off Eckersley
to me is
the only other one in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, the Joe Carter one, it's like, yeah, they still had game seven at home if they did,
they were Schilling. Still. You want to do that?
It wasn't, this wasn't, you know, bloody sock
side. No, but
Kurt Schilling, it was
he'd
different.
He'd been pretty friggin' good.
It wouldn't have been Kurt Schilling. He pitched game five of that series, so I don't know who
I'm pretty sure it was Schilling.
Yeah, but he would have been coming back on 2 days rest to pitch game seven.
Well, we may have to look this up before the next one because I'm near.
No, we're going to rob it.
Okay. Well, we're each robbing it from a different side, so.
Yeah. I'm saying Schilling might have been available, but I don't think he would have been the starter. Anyways, so the Rangers.
Before you just carry off, I'm saying the opposite for people who are. Yeah. He was going to start. So, yeah, the Rangers.
The opposite. So you'll have tuna, you'll have chicken salad on rye with a glass of tea.
All right.
You know, the opposite of tuna would be salmon. Tuna swim with the current. Salmon swim against the current.
Thanks, Jerry.
Hooray for the tuna. Anyway, so the Rangers...
They took exception.
...were the epitome of butthurt after they lost.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why the Bautista thing was so badass to me as a, you know, longtime, you know, Blue Jays fan. Because I'm thinking back, like, 1989.
Yeah.
When, like, Ricky Henderson just, like... embarrassed the Jays during that ALCS, like stealing bases, hitting home runs.
Whenever the hell he felt like it.
Did whatever he wanted, and Jose Canseco watched home runs, and Blue Jays like Kelly Gruber and Ernie Witt were whiny and bellyachy about it, and Dave Parker had the immoral comeback. Is Kelly Gruber running a baseball school, and have there been any graduates? Because this has been going on in baseball for, like, basically longer than that,
right?
Back than 89. Like, basically, you know, white guys telling... This saying how players from the Caribbean, players who are African American, how they should act on the field. And,
yeah.
And the Rangers did this, and it's friggin' disgraceful.
Yeah, right after the
it's
game.
Like, talk about sore losers.
Sam Dyson.
Dyson, who has 142 days major league service time.
Yeah.
That's like, what, half a pregnancy? Of course, the seventh inning felt like half a pregnancy.
That's right.
Says a man.
Declaring... that Jose Bautista needs to be a better role model.
Act like a professional. It's just like...
I'd like to see their opinions on their guy Holland wiping his ass
with the rally towel. Yeah, well, that's okay because he's Caucasian.
Yeah, fuck. Like, honestly, as a Jays fan, you know, all right, fuck you or whatever. But I have no moral objection to you being an asshole. But when you turn around and have guys like his teammates now declaring the other team to be... classless and arrogant. You just have no time for it.
Yeah. So here's Dyson's quote. Jose needs to calm that down. Just respect the game a little more. He's a huge role model for the younger generation that's coming up playing the game. And I mean, he's doing stuff that kids do in wiffle ball games and backyard baseball. It shouldn't be done. Like, who's more accessible as a sports star ever in Toronto, any sport, than Jose Bautista?
Booster juice Jose.
Yeah, everyone people love that guy. He's like, you know, he's personable, like, you know, fans of all ages kind of love him.
He has a temper and he is fiery. He's got that Latino.
He's fiery.
He
doesn't back down from umpires. And of course, Bautista had the best comeback ever to this because they were like this one question. And God, I mean, I'm thinking back to when I was in journalism school and the one report teacher we had, Bruce Wark. Maybe Bruce listens to the podcast. Maybe he doesn't.
How's it going, Bruce?
Yeah, he's probably reading some Jesus big book. As he used to always put it. He wrote this Jesus big book about the semantics of ordering at a drive-thru. and how it limits us. No. Not Bruce himself. He would talk about some like theorist guy who spent all his time in dark rooms watching that 70s show reruns.
Right.
And so the question is,
that situation that started with the benches clearing, apparently Dyson just said that he told Edwin that you shouldn't be doing that when you threw the bat and that's backyard baseball and should be done. Do you have a reaction to this? And Batista's like, no. It's like, seriously, that's not journalism. It's like, that's high school.
Yeah, you want to start
some
gossip.
Grade 7 kids running back and forth between two cliques.
He said that she said that he said that. I
saw Edwin and Encarnacion pass him at 31 flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious. Thank you, Simone. Oh, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, for him to just shut it. And if I'm him, why would I engage?
Yeah,
you know what?
It's stupid.
Fuck you. You're
it's
in just, my rear view. I don't care.
It's just classless and tacky. And it's sad that, you know.
And don't get me wrong.
And if a Jays player had said the same thing, if it had been someone on Texas who watched their home run go, we would have said the same thing.
Look,
like, take a loss like a man.
But it absolutely.
Like an adult.
If we hadn't, like if the Blue Jays hadn't come back and had that bottom of the seventh and the Jays would have lost on that play in the top of the seventh, you absolutely would be seeing the whining out of the Toronto dressing room and the Toronto media and the management that they got hosed. And it's not just Texas. It's not that Toronto was far above these sorts of things. It's just that no one's, at least not that I can remember in Major League Baseball, no one's ever lost because the other team was better. They've always been hosed somehow, or because the other team was unprofessional, or because you fucking lost, right? And it would be the exact same thing happening out of the Blue Jays dressing room if we would be hearing about these conspiracies and why was the roof closed and these sorts of bullshit.
I like conspiracies, though.
Of course. It makes it interesting. It's fun to talk about it on podcasts.
As someone who cheers
but,
for a lot of losing teams, I do like my conspiracies.
Yes. They give me a little.
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
Oh, we're not going down that one. it's just one of those things, right, where... So, another interesting thing to come out of Game 5, Blue Jays didn't use a pitcher over 25 years of age as Stroman starts at, I think, 24.
The oldest of the lot.
Sanchez comes in at, I believe he's 23. Osuna's 20. Like, it was all the young guys who got it done for, you could have brought in Hawkins for a pitch and blown the average age up to like 33 at that point.
Just blown the curve. Yeah.
Right. But to get it done at, everybody under the age of 24 was pretty impressive. And I wonder what's going to happen now as we kind of start to shift the attention forward to the ALCS. With Cecil injured, you got to assume Loop will be back for that, at least at some point in the series. They were in trouble without a left-handed, shutdown guy out of the pen. You can't keep going to David Price in that situation. You wonder if is Burley coming back in for this, to take...
You bring in Mark Burley just to be the lefty, the loogie, lefty one-out guy? I don't like the
86-mile-an-hour fastball as my left-handed shutdown guy, but you gotta have somebody out there. And if you don't know when Loop's coming back, I'm sure he'll be back in the series. Do I know he'll be back for Game 1 and 2? No. Right? Like, and it's one of those things you hate to speculate, but they say it's a family medical condition. So has someone passed or is someone on their deathbed and could go tonight or in 6 days? You just have no way of knowing that, right? Like, I think, obviously, I'm not trying to be judgmental. You always choose family first, and the Jays were right to let him leave. I don't know who would take a stand against that, but...
Oh, someone would.
Of course. The playoffs! But
hot take.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, you got to bring another lefty in, and Burley's really the only guy you got. I don't know.
Yeah, Brett Cecil, just to clarify, tore a calf muscle.
Yes.
And
they were talking today that there was no chance he could be back in this series, but a possibility of the World Series if they were to get there. It'd be pretty ballsy to bring him back after, 3 weeks off or whatever it would be for the World Series on half a leg and having not pitched to major league hitters. But anyway, like I don't know what they're going to do. You do have a chance now to alter your roster going into the next series. You wouldn't even look at Burley.
I can't see him making that adjustment. And I mean, to me, he need cortisone shots just to make a.
Oh, I know. I was all in favor of just him to make not a token start. Roster. Oh, so, I don't want him to start.
So I just can't see how you could trust him in a relief role that he's not used to doing. That's a little bit tough.
Yeah.
So one point I do want to make is weird how the Jays season pivotal moments have big swings have come after weird plays involving Russ Martin. Because there was a game on September 22nd, and I'm not mentioning that just because I was there.
The belt?
They got called for catcher interference, and right after that, like Greg Bird hit a 3-run homer, and the Yankees won that game. Then the next night, Russell Martin hits the walk-off, hits a big home run, and the Jays won. And
Le Québec danse, Canada danse.
Circuit du camp.
Yeah.
And we got on a win streak that enabled them to clinch the division. And then tonight, the weirdest play ever with Russ Martin again, and the bottom of the inning, they pull away to win the game.
Well, it's interesting, eh? He's not even in the lineup at that point. Well, yeah, the next inning, when they come out
for a pinch runner. Yeah.
Right. And so you think, you know, Canada's golden boy in this series and these sorts of things. When Osuna gets that final out, it's Navarro who's behind the plate to come and, don't get me wrong, I think it was the right call to put Pompey in to run for him. But it's kind of funny that, like you say, all these kind of things just keep happening around him. And then when it all comes down to the end, he's not even in the game anymore. So,
yeah.
And it's honestly, it's too bad for that kind of moment as a Canadian kid, as a GTA kid, right? That he wasn't in there. But good on Gibby for being a little cutthroat. You gotta.
Oh no, that's the obvious situation. When you're a catcher, you know you're going to get pinch run for in late inning situations. Bring in the courtesy runner from fast pitch softball. I love that. I love that rule. When there's two outs when you're in tournament play and you're trying to speed games along because you're on time, you have every game in under 2 hours. The catcher's on base with two outs. He or she has to come out of the game, and whoever made the last out has to run. I don't know why I went off that tangent.
All right.
But anyway, so one thing we should get into is, like, where's the baseline? Like, do they have to win the pennant now? I think they've got to at least win the pennant.
For this to have felt like
destiny fulfilled
if
type
If they now
type deal.
Get swept by the Royals.
Yeah, if they go four straight for the Royals, I mean, we're going to be tearing the... Let's face it, we're going to just go tear the Rogers Center down.
I think it narrowly avoided that.
There's been a big bit of an issue over the years with people throwing things on the field. I was at a Jays home opener once where they made the mistake. They had the great idea to give away a refrigerator magnet schedules. And in the late innings, those things just started flying just out of the 500 down. Level. Yeah. Like, I got about six of them actually to take home. Christmas shopping done. Actually, no, it didn't really work.
Unhappy.
The schedules were out of date by the end of Christmas.
Yeah.
But you can understand.
It's a successful season. This, to me, for this organization now, for sure, has been a successful season, right? And I hear people talking, mostly the talking heads on Rogers Sportsnet right now, saying, you know, when you start thinking back to all the deals that they made and for this management group to be successful, all the way back to the Marlins trade. Okay, what's left from the Marlins trade other than Burley, who you're not using? Like, okay to Dickey, that's turned out okay.
Oh, I mean, Reyes was part of that trade, and he was used okay, to get turned Lewinsky.
Okay, well, but let's not talk like that was part of the, you know, that Reyes is out there being a big part. There's not a knowledgeable baseball fan in the world that would say I'd have Reyes over Tulowitzki, right? Like, so I think for me, it's been a successful season now. Like, obviously, I want them to win. I want them to, but if they have a good showing against Kansas City and go down, I'd have a hard time saying they didn't get the job done, right? Now, obviously, if a game like this game five victory against Texas, now you're jacked up and you're wanting more, right? You want more of those.
We paid for blood.
Right. I spoke to a couple of friends today who are, you know, have kind of gotten on the bandwagon over the summer, which is great. But they're saying, you know, man, if every game was this exciting, I'd have been on the bandwagon. I said, oh, man, if you're waiting for more of those.
It's baseball. Every game is not this exciting.
Right. If you're waiting for more of that, you're going to be disappointed.
So looks like he's going to go get a new bat.
It was one of those things where I think you just, you know, at this point, that was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of game.
Like I say, you don't get many moments like that in all the sports you've ever followed.
No. The closest I've ever come was if I'd have been a Bruins fan in 2013 when they came back and hammered down the Leafs. Unfortunately, like, you know, I was on the other side.
To circle back to something I've said, like, I mean, I've been a Jays fan for 30 years, which means they've disappointed me consistently for 30 years.
Right.
And, I mean... I mean
22 and 23 years ago.
They should have won in 5.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the joke.
Yeah.
You ever notice how men leave the toilet seat up? but anyways, to go... The thing was with the 92 and 93 teams, there was so much buildup. Like, this is it. This is the year we're doing it. Like, yeah. The 92 team had, like, shirts made up that said 3 for 3 for winning the division, the pennant, and the World Series.
Right.
I guess these guys would need 4 for 4 or 5 for 5 now. But this was kind of like, okay, you knew they had an awesomely good hitting attack, and then... But it wasn't until they made all the trades in July. It was just like, okay, we're going for it. This is happening for reals. Because, and it has nothing to do with the fact our corporate owner doesn't want people to talk about how bad they fucked up hockey coverage. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just been this like spontaneous thing that's, you know, sort of come together. But I mean, there have been the moves made along the way. I remember when Sanchez and Stroman came up in 2014 thinking like, hey, we've actually got like...
We've developed some guys.
We've actually developed guys who aren't, you know... Crap.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool today that it was one of – it would have been
three homegrown guys. Yeah. Like no one can sit there and say, oh, you went and bought your team.
Right.
Like
which
all
some
these
people have tried to.
Bitter Montreal Expos fans. You can still find
Shut
them.
Up.
You can still Montreal. Find them trying to say that about the Blue Jays World Series teams in the 90s.
Yeah.
Even though Alomar and Carter came in trades.
So how do you like this matchup with the Royals?
I like it a lot. I think obviously the Jays have more hitting.
Yeah.
The Royals have decent pitching, and obviously they've got, you know, a lights out bullpen, you know, Herrera and Ryan Madsen, former Phillies closer, all those guys. I mean, if they, I mean, but
it's hard for
a team to win, like, when they just, I mean, the Royals' whole MO is to get a lead after 5 and then just turn it over.
Coast at home.
You know, just turn it over to one power arm after another until you just wish Flanders was dead. it's mind-numbingly boring baseball that they play compared to what the Jays do.
We'll just have to make sure they're not leading going into the
sixth,
right? So it's interesting. They like you said, they certainly don't have any bangers in their lineup that can match any of the Jays' top three. And especially if Tulowitzki's going to actually get it going. And I thought Colabello was pretty good in this series, right? Like, he, by the end of it, had earned his spot in the lineup pretty regularly, and I'm much more comfortable defensively with Smoke, but, you know. Yeah,
former Royal.
Ooh, nice. Subplot. Hey, there won't be any shortage of those after
the Royals didn't have
August.
The Royals had, I mean, part of it is that Coffin Stadium is a big pitcher's park.
Right.
Generally is how it's played, but no one on the Royals hit 20 home runs this year, so it is going to be quite a contrast. I mean, and then that's
offense versus defense, right?
Yeah, the Royals sort of are built around, you know, situational hitting. But they were 9th in the league in runs scored, but they led the league in stolen bases.
Right. So they're going to play some small ball, right?
They will small ball you.
But you know what? To me, after that series in Toronto in August, I just want this shoved up Ned Yost's ass. He's just a pompous, arrogant, smug old man. I want to see bad things happen
there was,
to him.
There was
professionally.
Some, there
not,
was some,
not personally, but professionally, I'd like to see bad things happen to him.
Well, I'm a well-wisher in that I wish him no specific harm. But yeah, there was some bad blood. There was some pushing and shoving. The Jays have ticked off a lot of teams, but it's kind of great because it's just kind of like, here we are, you know.
Yep.
And you know, screw you if you don't understand us. Certain, you know, they get back to the Rangers, you know, being all whiny. Because, oh, Jose Bautista flipped his bat. Well, maybe if he'd thrown a better pitch,
he would have had the chance.
He would have been throwing his bat into the stands and injuring
because
many
civilians.
Because
it wasn't like he scraped one over the wall.
No, the swing was.
He smashed that piece of garbage pitch. You go wait in the truck. Like, that was a terrible pitch. You just left it hanging out there for a 40 home run guy to.
And I'm thinking, like,
I'm mad because he hit it really hard and then made me look bad. You made you look bad. Like,
yeah, I'm like thinking back. Like, it's not like I have like photographic instant recall of like every major home run that a, you know, a big time hitter has hit in the postseason. But I always think that one that, like, George Brett, like, they always show in Yankee Stadium, up in the third deck of the old Yankee Stadium off Goose Gossage, is the only thing I can think of. Like, that's not supposed to happen in postseason baseball. You're supposed to, you know, throw those guys just low, pitch those guys low and away, you know. And,
well, that was
and if they get don't you know if they anyone you can who can beat you, you walk them, right?
I mean, that and like oh man, they had been staying away for the last two games from Encarnacion, and all of a sudden we decide, well, we can get him. Wham! Like his home run was another monster, 457 feet. I'm pretty sure I read. And Batista's was 448. Like
yeah, that's not supposed to happen in playoff baseball.
No. And I didn't know there was still 457 feet out to the edge of the dome, right? Like, that's a long way. Like, I mean, that should have been in the concourse. So I have no time for someone who, you know what, you don't like when he celebrates, don't give him anything to celebrate about. So, but you're absolutely right. The Jays have had their share of bad press and scuffles with other teams and whatever, but you know who other people don't like is good teams.
Yeah,
right? They're annoying to play against, right? No one cares about the shitty, lovable loser, right? And he can do whatever
he wants. Hey, but they might end up playing the Cubs in the World Series.
Speaking of lovable losers. Yeah,
so that's why I kind of have the bar set at pennant.
Yeah.
Because Kansas City won the pennant last year in the American League. So, I mean, maybe some people root for them again. But I don't think they're going to be that cuddly, you know, all-American underdog.
No,
last year
now
it was because
they had
ended the longest playoff drought in the majors because they had not made the playoffs since 85 when they beat the Blue Jays in the ALCS.
Womp, womp, womp,
womp. Womp. Yeah. Sad trombone. And then, you know, hey, Paul Rudd's a Royals fan. All of us, you know, like, really, not, you know.
Wow, there's your...
That's your A-lister. Celebrity fan. That's your...
Paul all right. Rudd. Geddy Lee's a Jays fan.
Yeah, we know. and hey, in that movie.
Rob Ford was at the game today.
And they still won. So you know they're good.
They overcame the Ford curse.
They overcame the Ford, yeah. I saw like Harper sent out a tweet about it. Like, congratulations, Blue Jays. And everyone's like, stay out of this.
Don't ruin this for us.
But then you look at over the National League, it's like, okay, if it ends up being like, because they still have to play game five of the last series between the Mets and the Dodgers. But if the Cubs are there, like obviously, you know, if it ends up being like a Cubs-Blue Jays World Series, we're going to have to accept that like everyone in America, I mean, they'll already be all cheering for the Cubs. But like there'll be people in Canada be like, well, you know, the Cubs haven't won since, you know, 1908. So obviously, you know, like that'll be the narrative of the Cubs actually in the World Series.
You know what
Series.
I say to that? Fuck the Cubs.
That's yeah, but the I Cubs think. Haven't won the World Series since Back to the Future 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that is kind or of the line
the
going
Jim
into
Belushi
it.
Movie.
The old,
there's been more. There's been so many movies made where there's like a plot involves the Cubs in the World Series. And, you know, because people have never
you mean
seen
that Bartman
it actually
documentary?
Yeah, Steve Bart. There was this awful Jim Belushi movie where he's a guy who breaks into jail to go watch the Cubs in the World Series. There's that stupid movie with the guy from American Pie becomes the 12-year-old who throws 118 miles an hour. So, yes.
It should be an interesting series.
These are
the top two teams in the AL. Texas made it hairy. They, you know, could have easily won this one today. And I mean, really, the way the Houston-Kansas City game played out, Houston could have been. So it's been really kind of anyone's ball game, if you'll pardon the expression, in both series. So,
but this is what you want to do, see. You want to see the
one
top
two.
Two teams.
Yep.
I mean, the Royals won 95 games. The Jays won 93.
Yeah. So
I always define 92 wins as the cutoff for very good team.
Right. So we'll see how this goes, right? I haven't had a chance yet because the Astro. Why do I keep doing that? The Kansas City game went on second. I haven't had a chance to see how their rotation is going to set up for this. But Toronto's set up pretty well. They'll have Estrada for game one, Price for game two, and Stroman for game three, all on regular rest. So, I mean, you can't ask for a whole lot more than that.
Yeah,
right?
Kansas City had to throw Johnny Cueto.
Right.
Who's their big, you know, their big ticket.
So he's probably no good till game three.
Acquisition, yeah.
Yeah.
So pitched a pretty good game. And of course, you know, we're kind of joking that, you know, that satirical Canadians like the Beaverton is going to have a story like Colby Rasmus has champagne toast because he won't get booed in Toronto because the other series was Colby Rasmus and Alex Rios. For his former Toronto fan whipping boys.
Yeah.
At various times. One of them was going to end up playing against the Jays and just getting booed.
It's true, man. So,
this
will be fun.
This is fun.
Hope people are enjoying it, right? I had somebody chirping me. in the second and third innings, or maybe it was the first and second, Stroman allowed hits after going up 0-2 on a couple guys, and I said, this is not a good sign. And I had two people jump all over me on Twitter saying, you're looking to be negative, and you're... I was just making an observation, right? So there's some people that are a little tense, a little... This is fun. You should enjoy it. It only comes around every 22 years, apparently. So
yeah, I know.
Like, live it up right now. Have a good time with it. Starts for
Friday. Who knows? Like, you know, like the Burrow Bob McCowanism, like the next time it happens, they might be like wheeling our desiccated corpses into the pitcher's mound for the ceremonial first pitch. So
you and me?
Yeah, you and I.
All right. Well, that'd be fun. That's a ways down the road, right? Like, I don't want to
be... Yeah, it could be another 44 years for all we know.
It's still pretty soon to be a beat-up corpse. Oh, well, we'll see how it goes.
Well, I go to yoga, of course, and we've got a guy named Charlie who comes, and he's 71, and he always says life is more about quality than quantity. He's like, I don't want to live to be 100.
Yeah, I guess there's something to that. Eh? So let's hope that this Blue Jays run continues to live long and healthy. That is going to be Tall Can Sports for this week. Thanks for doing this one, Nate.
No problem, Matt.
We'll catch you all on the next one, probably after maybe game two. We'll hit you again. Take it easy.
Vamos en las esquinas con dos outs. Dyson. Listo. Viene para home y olvídese. Otro más.
One ball, one strike, the count to Bautista. Infield and outfield playing him to pull. Dyson, the high set. He kicks and deals. Swing and a ball driven deep to left field. This ball is gone. Into the second deck. With one swing of the bat, Joey Bautista homers. And the Blue Jays now lead it 6-3.
Bautista drives it deep left field, gone!
Now he comes set. Kicks the 1-1 pitch. Fly ball deep left field. Yes, sir, there she goes.
After the Rangers took the lead in bizarre fashion in the top half. 1-1 from Tyson. Bautista with a drive.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.